money, the more Plenty Points you earn through February 27th. Earn 2,000 points when you spend $100, another 1,500 when you get to $150, and yet another 1,500 at $200. That's up to 5,000 Plenty Points worth at least $50 in savings, only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Earning based on total purchases from 131 to 227.16. Limit 5,000 Plenty Points per card. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton isn't apologizing, but he is explaining his terse post-Super Bowl press conference. After giving mostly one-word answers before walking out altogether, Newton says that's just the way he was feeling at the time.
I've seen so much blown out of proportion, but, you know, at the end of the day, when you invest so much time, when you sacrifice so much, and things don't go as planned, I think emotions take over.
Newton came under fire for being a poor sport and admits to being a, quote, sore loser, saying no one likes to lose, and that's just the competitive fire in him. The star signal caller was sacked 6 times, threw an interception, and almost lost a pair of fumbles in Carolina's 24-10 loss to the Broncos in Sunday's Super Bowl. Panthers head coach Ron Rivera says he doesn't think the criticism levied against Cam Newton is completely fair.
What we're asking people to do, you know, after a very difficult situation, set of circumstances, is to gather a composure and step up right away. I'm not sure how fair that is.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
The savings are heating up at Lumber Liquidators' Spring Flooring Kickoff Sale. Our stores are now packed with the latest trends from our new catalog, like the hot look of gray flooring. This week, get 20% off reclaimed gray woodlook tile. And check out popular hand-scraped styles like High Sierra Pine. Or choose from other varieties of solid hardwood, all up to 20% off. Get great deals on over 35 styles of bamboo from $149 and more from just 49 cents. Plus, 18-month special financing. For the best deals on over 400 floors, visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you today.
Last night was a pretty rough night for Republican contender Marco Rubio.
Florida Senator Marco Rubio appeared to be heading into New Hampshire on a wave of momentum when a bad debate Saturday seemed to bring everything to a halt. Primary results are appearing to back that up, with Rubio turning in a fifth-place finish. Rubio spoke to supporters and bore all the blame.
I want you to understand something. Our disappointment tonight is not on you. It's on me. It's on me. I did not do well on Saturday night, so listen to this. That will never happen again.
Rubio said he would be back to New Hampshire this fall when he's the Republican nominee. I'm Jason Wirt.
This is truly an historic time in American politics. Bernie Sanders' win in the New Hampshire primary is the first in a presidential nominating contest by a Jewish candidate. But people aren't paying much attention to this bit of political religious history. Colby College professor Sandy Mizell tracks the status of Jews in America. He tells CNN the Vermont senator's religion is mostly overlooked because attitudes toward Jews in the U.S. have reached a point where there's no stigma about Sanders' religion. Additionally, Sanders has repeatedly called himself a secular Jew, saying he doesn't really have any strong ties to organized religion. Parts of Western Christianity are marking Ash Wednesday. The date commemorates the 40 days Christ spent in the desert fasting and being tempted by Satan, as written in the Gospels. Lent leads up to Easter weekend, where Christ was crucified on Good Friday, then rose again on Easter morning. I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, ceremony officiant with CelebrationOfALifetime.com. I joined the chamber so I can get to know you and what you're all about, and I hope you want to get to know me and what I'm all about. Then we can celebrate what we can do to make Hunterdon County better.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business. One business at a time.
Good afternoon. The weather for today, it is mostly cloudy with a current temperature of 34 degrees. And we are expecting a high of 38 today. Tonight, there will be some isolated snow showers after 10 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low of 21. Tomorrow, Thursday, a slight chance of snow showers, partly sunny with a high near 27. And Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low of 8. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 26. And Friday night, again, a chance of snow showers, a low around 14. Looks like some scattered flurries on Saturday and Sunday be sunny. Both days will be in the mid to upper teens, so it looks like a cold weekend ahead of us. It is currently 12:06.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Alton, your role, your host for today's program, and I am a licensed professional counselor. I am going to be talking today about codependency. Now, I did post on my different sites that January is Codependency Awareness Month, and I'm glad some of you recognize that. I wanted to see if you were on your toes. No, actually, I was having a moment, I think, when I picked the topic. But it doesn't matter because codependency is something for us to talk about and learn about. Doesn't matter if it happens to be National Codependency Awareness Month or not. Excuse me. So codependency, it seems to be a word that's been getting bantered around quite a bit. Some people come into my office and they seem to know what codependency is. Some have heard the term but don't really, they guess at what it is. And other people have never heard of it. This term, codependency, has been around for a while. It is, though, however, a relatively new term. It is generally associated with alcoholics. The word dependency is probably the key aspect of it. And then the codependent usually makes it sound like I'm dependent on something along with the alcoholic or the drug addict. Codependency does not necessarily mean that we have an alcoholic or a drug addict in our life. It is a type of psychological dependency where we are attaching ourselves to, I'm going to say basically, another person or personality. And when I say attaching, I mean focusing on. Codependency likes to use the word attach or attachment where we are, again, focused, highly focused on other people. Because it stems from alcoholism, the original thought was the person who is the non-alcoholic or the non-addict has their focus and their attention placed all the time on the alcoholic or the drug addict. We know now that this word, codependency, can even have a broader sense. So if I have a family member with diabetes, my spouse is diabetic, my focus may be on their health. If I have someone with a narcissistic personality disorder in my family, all the attention goes on the person with the personality disorder. If I have someone who is struggling with what we call process addiction, that means somebody who's struggling with gambling, sex addiction, spending addiction, workaholism, food addiction, anything that is other than drug and alcohol, but are considered addictive in behavior, I'm focused on that person that is struggling with that type of process addiction. That is codependent. Generally speaking, someone who is codependent has some specific characteristics, and I'm going to talk about them as we go along in the show. And codependency is something that I work with quite often with my clients. The word and the term really started to get bantered about very much in the early 80s. Janet Wotitz, the author of Adult Children of Alcoholics, which was a groundbreaking book of its time, talked about not only adult children of alcoholics, but how it affected people and expanded the meaning of codependency. And then some of you have heard of the book Women Who Love Too Much by Robin Norwoods. This book also talked about women who were addicted or codependent to men. And Melody Beattie, who has the most popular concept of codependency in her book, Codependent No More. These books, which are still extremely, believe it or not, extremely popular because they really do a great job of talking about codependency, educating people about codependency, and offering suggestions on treating codependency. The interesting thing about codependency is if I grow up in a dysfunctional family, I am I am the codependent, and again, I'm going to give the more of a description, I have a greater tendency of being attracted to people that I can help. Now, there's some positive things about being codependent. Most people in helping professions, doctors, teachers, nurses, counselors, dentists, vets, veterinarians, home health aides, a lot of us, and put myself in that category, can be codependent. It doesn't mean that we have to allow that to rule our life. So I'm going to talk about how codependency is formed, how it affects us, and how to treat it. I would say the majority of clients who struggle with codependency that come into my office, oftentimes they do come from or grew up in families where there was addiction, some type of obsessive compulsive disorder, a personality disorder like narcissism. The general dysfunctional family where someone needs to have some caretaking. And I know I've done this description before, and I'm going to do it again. So if you can use your mind's eye and create this picture, I draw this picture often in my office. I draw a bottle of alcohol, and I write the word dysfunction in there because, like I said, it can include many different types of dysfunction. It doesn't have to be just alcohol or drug addiction. It can be a personality disorder. It could be a depression. It can be obsessive compulsive disorder, bipolar disorder. It can be workaholism. It could be poverty. It could be a broken family struggling with divorce, coming from a family where your parents are, where you are first generation, so your parents are not very good at speaking English. You're very enculturated into the American culture. Many different things can cause this. So think of the bottle. Next to that bottle is the person who is focused on the bottle. So they're looking at the bottle. That we could say that's the alcoholic. I'm just going to use the basic alcoholic family. Next to that, you've got the significant other, the spouse. They're focused on the alcoholic. That person is the codependent. So you've got the alcohol, the alcoholic, whose relationship is with the alcohol, the codependent, whose relationship is about focusing and caretaking the alcoholic, and then you have the children. Oftentimes what happens with the children is they become codependent in that They are caretaking each other. Sometimes when mom can't handle it, and again, I'm just using the basic formula, mom can't handle it, the oldest or one of the children's caretaking the alcoholic dad or helping mom or being the person that mom goes and talks to and cries on their shoulder. All of these things do, in the end, cause codependency. So I am going to take a little commercial break, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about codependency and, again, what it is and how to treat it. I'm Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for today's program, Counselor's Chat.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for today's program, and I'm talking to you about codependency. And one of the things that I said I wanted to do is go over some of the symptoms. As I said before the break, codependency tends to happen when we have someone in our lives, a spouse or a parent, who has some type of issue, originally coined around alcoholism, but alcoholism, drug addiction, workaholism, sexaholism, gambling addiction, food addiction, physical illness, mental illness, poverty, broken families, all kinds of things can lead to codependency. So how do you know if you're a codependent? Well, there are some characteristics. One of the things is low self-esteem. Now, low self-esteem doesn't necessarily mean that you are codependent. However, codependents tend to have low self-esteem, extremely low self-esteem many times. They feel that they're not good enough. They often compare themselves to other people. They are concerned about what other people think of them. Oftentimes feel unloved or inadequate. And underneath that, there's oftentimes feelings of shame and guilt and a belief in perfectionism. And shame and guilt, interestingly, those things are related. One is much more intense than the other. Guilt is I did something wrong. Shame is there's something wrong with me. Oftentimes, those feelings of low self-esteem connected with perfectionism is because we those of us who are codependent, never feel like we can get anything right, can never do anything right. We're never able to really make other people happy and fix the problem. And so we feel as if there must be something wrong with us. Having that desire to fix the problem actually leads to the next aspect of being codependent, which is tends to be, I'm going to say, what most people think about when they think about codependency, and that is people pleasing. That's what codependents want more than anything. They want to see that other people are happy, and they go out of their way and sacrifice their own needs to accommodate other people. They have a really hard time saying no, and saying no causes them so much anxiety that they may actually reverse their decision and go back and say yes, because they have so much anxiety about people pleasing. Which means that people then go out of their way with people pleasing to the point where you may actually get some resentment, because I'm doing so much for other people and I'm not feeling any kind of gratitude because my own needs are not being met. And I don't know how to meet my own needs anyway. I don't even know that I have needs as a people pleaser. One of the other things that people who have, who are codependent, they have poor boundaries. And, you know, I talk about boundaries quite a bit on my show. Boundaries are any kind of imaginary line between you and another person. It's what divides you or makes up who you are versus somebody else. And the other thing too about boundaries that goes along with boundaries is limits. So a codependent usually gets into trouble because they don't have good boundaries or weak boundaries, and they don't recognize their limits. What does that mean exactly? Well, that means, again, it's with that saying yes all the time. I can do that. Sure, I can help you out. Oh, I can go that extra mile. Oh, I can take that project on, to the point where you're overwhelmed. And then you feel shame and guilt because you're not getting things done perfectly. Because you also don't know your limits. Sometimes people who are codependent may have very rigid boundaries, very black and white thinking. They can be very closed off and withdrawn, making it hard for people to get close to them. And sometimes it is that very black and white. Sometimes having very strong boundaries, very rigid boundaries, and other times having very weak boundaries. Either way, it is a boundary issue. Codependents tend to be very reactive because of those poor boundaries. You just react. You don't think things through. If someone says something you disagree with, you may actually become very defensive. You take it personally. You absorb their words because there's no boundaries. You can't realize that it's just their opinion. And so you take offense, and then you feel threatened by the possibility of the disagreement, because I can't stand up for myself. Low self-esteem. The other aspect of being codependent is caretaking. Again, it's this effect of having poor boundaries. Caretaking other people. Well, you know, it's natural to have some empathy and sympathy for others, and it's also natural to want to help people out who can't help themselves. But the caretaking goes further than that. The caretaking is about helping people who act helpless but really don't need your help. Or the caretaking might be about pushing the other person aside and saying, I can do this better than you, because I'm going to caretake. It's about trying to fix the other person. It's about giving advice, even when advice is not wanted or warranted. Caretaking again, it sort of goes going along with those boundaries. There are times when, yes, we absolutely do need to caretake. Children need to have some caretaking. Elderly, some caretaking. People with some disabilities, they also may need some caretaking. But with codependency, the caretaking does tend to go too far, often leading into the next aspect of codependency, which is control. Control helps codependent people feel safe and secure. They're always trying to make some structure out of their chaos in their lives. And why chaos? Again, alcoholism. I don't know if when dad or my husband or who my wife is going to be drunk, sober, drug addiction, workaholism, sexism. I'm going to go down the list. Bipolar. I don't know when mom or dad are going to be depressed or going to be manic. Many other, I'm going to say people who have post-traumatic stress. Okay? Their children don't know when dad's going to rage or not. Sometimes what happens is codependents can actually get involved in their own addiction. So that trying to get order out of chaos, so it's too much, feeling overwhelmed, they might find that a drink helps. Or find themselves focusing on work or eating too much. Codependents often need to control those around them so they feel safe. It can also end up where codependents manipulate other people. Codependents can be bossy and tell you what to do and what you shouldn't do and violate someone else's boundaries. People who are codependent have dysfunctional communication skills. They have trouble when it comes to communicating their thoughts and feelings and needs. Of course, a codependent is so other-focused that oftentimes they don't really know what they feel or what they need. They may not even recognize what they're thinking. And this can become a problem because that means a codependent does not really get to know who they are. If I'm the codependent and I'm so focused on what you need and what you think and what you feel, and I, the codependent, don't recognize what I think, what I feel, and what I need, I can't get those things met. So that's a real problem. Codependents are often afraid to be truthful because they don't want to upset someone else. Instead of saying, I don't like that, or I can't do that, or I'd rather not, they pretend that it's okay. And communication often then becomes dishonest and confusing when you try to manipulate the other person out of fear. People who are codependent tend to be obsessive. Now, I don't mean obsessive compulsive, like I got to get all my books lined up in order and all of my clothes and the right color coordination in the closet, and not about that, you know, the washing my hands, not that kind of obsession. Codependents tend to have an obsession around other people, what they're thinking, what they're doing, what their relationships are, causing a lot of anxiety and fear. Are they going to be happy? What is going to happen? Oh, what if my daughter is dating this person and they get married and they end up with a divorce and they're going to be so upset? Okay. Become obsessed with the possibility of someone else making a mistake. Sometimes a codependent can actually lap into fantasy about how things should be and how someone they love should avoid things so that they stay away from pain. It can actually keep a codependent in denial because they are not living their own lives. And of course, dependency, which is part of the word codependence, is part of the symptoms of codependency. It means you need other people too much. You need them to need you. You're afraid of being rejected or being abandoned, to the point where even functioning on your own is really hard. You need to have someone to be in relationship with to control, because otherwise you may feel depressed or lonely or abandoned. And it's too painful. This type of thing, this type of trait, the dependency trait, can prevent a codependent from ending a bad relationship. And oftentimes, codependents end up feeling trapped and used, though may not talk about it. And as I said, denial is one of the symptoms. And what do I mean by denial? Well, oftentimes a person who is codependent cannot see that they are codependent. They are only trying to help other people, even though their lives may be in chaos. They're just trying to help. They cannot see that their desire to help and their urge to help is actually hurting themselves. The other thing is that they then tend to keep complaining or trying to fix the other person and can't understand why the other person is angry with them and not taking their suggestions. They may go from relationship to relationship or job to job, never owning up to the fact that they themselves, the codependent, has the problem. So they're denying their own feelings and their own needs. They don't know what they need. They don't know what they feel. Instead, they're focusing on what others need and what others feel. And I don't want that person to be angry. And I don't want that person to be sad. And I don't want that person to be needy. They're so busy paying attention to other people's needs that they do not see their own. And even though codependents can seem needy, they oftentimes act self-sufficient when it comes to helping others and don't reach out for help when they themselves are in trouble. They oftentimes deny that they are vulnerable. They deny they have their own need for love and intimacy. A codependent usually puts self on the back burner. They go by the philosophy of love your neighbor, not yourself. And the problems with intimacy, my goodness, there's quite a few. When you're codependent, there's oftentimes problems, sexual relationships, sexual dysfunction, fear of rejection, fear of being close to someone, not being able to be open or intimate with their feelings. Of course, if I don't know what I'm feeling, it's really hard to be intimate with someone about feelings. Oftentimes feel shame, have weak boundaries. Like I said, these things can really become difficult in intimate relationships. In addition, the fear of being judged, fear of abandonment, huge. Willing to do anything to stay in a relationship, but not really sharing who they are. In addition, a codependent may feel afraid of being smothered and losing their autonomy, which they really don't have anyway. But a codependent has a deep desire and need for closeness, but has no idea how to go about attaining it, and often feels unable to, or that they can't, and often feel that they remain separate and distant and alone. And oftentimes, codependency can lead to really painful emotions. It creates such stress that it leads to these emotions of shame. Again, shame is there's something wrong with me. It's very shame. That's very painful. Low self-esteem. These things create anxiety. Fear of being judged. Self-judgment. Fear of rejection. Self-rejection. Abandoning. Self-abandoning, fear of making mistakes and being a failure, fear of being trapped, fear of being alone. These feelings lead to anger and resentment, depression and anxiety, hopelessness, despair. Sometimes can even lead, believe it or not, to thoughts of suicide. So the interesting thing about codependency, if we were to look at it in terms of a process addiction, I am addicted to people, caretaking people. If I think of it in that way, oftentimes addiction can lead to death. Not always, but sometimes. One of the things that happens in the brain is when a codependent is taking care of another person, is focused on another person, they get that burst of dopamine. It's a thing that makes them feel worthwhile. It makes me feel good. I'm codependent. I'm taking care of somebody. I feel good about it. And so I'm going to do it some more, and I'm going to do it again. But when I'm by myself, I don't like myself very much, and I'm very judgmental. So how do you know if you're in a codependent relationship? Well, you have these belief systems that say things like, I can't live without the other person. This is a false belief. We like to think of this as romantic in our society, but it's not true. It's a type of attachment, which is not a connection. It's an attachment. As a codependent, it's very difficult to recognize that you are a whole person and that you are in a relationship with another whole person rather than an incomplete person that you need to have someone else that you can take care of to feel complete. The other problem with being in a codependent relationship, you want the other person to behave in a certain way. So expectations are really high. I expect them, if they really love me, I expect that they're going to do this. Or I expect that they're going to do that. And a codependent needs the person they're in relationship with to be the person they need them to be. It's fantasy. It's conditional love, which doesn't allow the other person to be who they really are. In other words, your happiness depends on how the other person is treating you based on a fantasy. And of course, if they fall short, you move to the blame game. It's your fault that I feel the way I feel. You're responsible to make me happy. You're my significant other. You should know what I want. You should know what I need. Now here I am, the codependent. I don't know what I want. I don't know what I need. I haven't communicated it to you because I don't know what it is. And yet somehow, miraculously, you're supposed to know these things. And of course, as a codependent in relationship, you play the role of the caregiver. Always mothering, always taking care of, always disempowering the other person. Never allowing them to take care of themselves. Always treating them like a helpless victim. Always believing that as the codependent, you're the one that knows best. And so then you end up with these controlling outcomes and situations. Always trying to control the other person, how things are supposed to come out. It ends up where we shift living in love to living in fear. Our choices are limited. Trust gets thrown out of the window. And it becomes painful. oftentimes when you're codependent, you base your feelings on the other person. So if the other person is happy, then I'm happy. If the other person's satisfied, then I'm satisfied. If the other person is mad, then I'm mad. Become a chameleon. So I take on whatever feelings you have. If you're sad, I'm sad. And part of what happens is a consequence. It constricts the flow of the relationship so that there's no real freedom in it. There's a lot of rules and constrictions based on fear. What people should do or shouldn't do. And as a consequence to this, there's a part of you that wants to get saved. Your knight in shining armor. How come they're not coming along? You keep giving and doing and doing and giving and caretaking. When is it going to be your turn? When is my knight going to show up and rescue me? When am I going to get that all-important love that I think I deserve? So codependency in relationships really doesn't work well. It can hurt. You know, we've got Valentine's Day just coming up. It might be a good time to start checking out for yourself. Are you actually codependent? It's a good time to start looking at yourself and begin to make some changes if you are finding that you are fitting this description of codependency. And I will say that we live in a very, very codependent society. Very codependent. I've shared this before. I'm going to share it again. Actually, on the way to the Super Bowl party at my brother's house, we're driving down some of the interstates here in New Jersey. Big signs, fans don't let fans drive drunk. It's great. I think that's great. We are encouraging people not to drive drunk. We are doing it in a very codependent way. So I'm going to go to the Super Bowl party. I will be the designated driver. I am going to sit and watch all my friends get smashed, sloppy drunk. I'm going to sit there and watch. I'm going to watch them drinking, getting silly, pushing each other, shouting each other, throwing up, passing out. Now it's time to go home. They're all going to pile in my car, and I get to be the person to drive them home. And you know what? Frankly, I've had a miserable time. I'm angry. I'm resentful. I didn't have any fun. As a matter of fact, now somebody's throwing up in the back of my car. I got to clean that up. So the designated driver is the codependent. Caretaking. Everyone else who is not being responsible for themselves. So I need to take another little commercial break. And I am going to come back and talk about how to break codependency. I will be back in a moment. I'm Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program, Counselor's Chat.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend. Thank you.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselors Chat. I am Ruth Altam, your role, licensed professional counselor and your host for today's program. And I am talking about codependency. As I had shared a number of topics, or not topics, but symptoms of codependency, also what it might look like in relationships. And one of the things that I thought was really important is to talk about how to overcome codependency. One of the most difficult things a codependent has to do is self-care. Very difficult, because the idea is always about taking care of someone else, fixing someone else, focusing on someone else. As I had shared before the break, you know, friends don't let friends drive drunk is a very codependent thing that happens in our society. I'm not encouraging people to drive drunk at all. What I actually am encouraging is people not to drink so much that they can. Everybody can drive home. You don't have to have a designated. Just don't drink so much. So personal responsibility is key. So with codependency, improving self-care. Some of the only times that I know that we really encourage that is on an airplane. What happens? Well, we're getting taxiing off, and used to be the host or hostess would, or stewardess or whatever, they would tell you, but now it's a little on the TV screen. You know, the oxygen mask drops down. Put it on yourself first before you take care of the other person next to you. Put the oxygen mask on first. Put the floating device on yourself first. Take care of yourself first. That doesn't mean take care of yourself only. It means take care of yourself first so you can take care of those that need your help. So that is one of the primary things in battling codependency. Learn how to set boundaries. Oh my gosh, I said no. Oh, I have such anxiety over it. I can't believe I said no. I'm so uncomfortable that I said no. Well, no one ever died from being uncomfortable, or no one ever died from the feelings of guilt. Those tend to be the initial feelings of what happens when someone who is struggling with codependency begins to take responsibility for their own lives and says no, because, you know, I've reached my limit. No, I can't do that. No, I've got too much going on. No, as a matter of fact, I actually planned some quiet time for myself, and I am not going to do that. No, I'm not going to have Thanksgiving this year. No, I'm not going to do your laundry for you. You're old enough to do your own laundry now. No, I'm not going to pick up after you. No, I'm not going to call your boss because you're drunk. And I moved to some self-reliance. Again, it goes back to self-care. That self-reliance and that self-care also allows me to know what my limits are. I begin to recognize my feelings. You know, as codependents, we tend to be angry. I feel all used up. The well is empty. So I say a lot of times to my clients who are codependent, it's the empty well syndrome. Empty. I do this for my kids. I do that for my husband. I'm doing this for my coworkers. I'm doing that for my parents. I'm hosting this. I'm buying that. I'm chauffeuring this. I'm taking care of that. And no one is doing anything for me. And I'm worn out and dried out and empty. Well, I have to have the oxygen mask first. And I know I've talked about this on my show a couple weeks ago on self-love. Self-love is the key, actually, to combating codependency. Not selfish love. Self-love, self-care. Know what your limits are. And pamper yourself a little bit. Where's a story in the Bible. For some of you who may know this story of the Good Samaritan. So the story goes that this guy's beaten up and he's robbed and he's beaten and bruised and naked in the gutter. And a Philistine walks by and says, not going to go bother with that, and crosses on the other side of the road and walks on. And someone else comes by, Greek, I'm not going to do that, touch that person, I don't know. And then somebody from Samaria comes by and he says, look at this guy, he's pretty well, he's not going to make it if somebody doesn't take care of him. So he puts him on his donkey and takes him to the nearest inn and says to the innkeeper, I want you to take care of him until he's on his own. Gave him my cloak to cover him up and, when I come back this way, I'll settle up anything that we need to settle up, and hopefully he's going to be fine and go on his way. And so we like to think of that story about caretaking others, but we don't think of that story in terms of the Good Samaritan had enough to give. He probably didn't have only one cloak. He had probably many cloaks, and so he gave him a cloak to cover him up. He had enough money where he was going to be able to pay for this guy until he got on his feet. Until he got on his feet. He didn't take him home. He didn't put him in his own bed. He didn't say, you could stay in my bed for the rest of your life. I'm going to pamper you and take care of you and make sure everything is done for you for now and forever. Amen. He just helped him get on his feet. That's all they did. We need to keep that in mind. That the Good Samaritan story is not about giving everything you have to someone else. It's about taking care of yourself and giving what you can. It's not about ignoring and walking on the other side of the street either. It's about providing empathetic support rather than fixing. So one of the things as a codependent, if you recognize you're fixing, you're swooping in, you're going to solve the problem. Dun, da, 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 I'm the hero. Here I am to save the day. Codependency on its way. No, that doesn't work. Because now I'm exhausted. I'm angry. I'm resentful. I'm used up. I've got that empty well syndrome. Take care of myself first. Set my boundaries. Recognize my feelings. Improve my self-care. Help others in ways that are productive instead of personally destructive. Learn to say no. take up a hobby. Create some quiet time. You might even need to join a support group like Codependence No More. Like a codependency co... Codependence Anonymous. Yes, it exists. Codependence Anonymous, like Alcoholics Anonymous. See a therapist. It's amazing how many of my clients struggle with codependency. Go to Al-Anon. Okay, Al-Anon also, or Adult Children of Alcoholics. They all use the 12-step model. So if I'm codependent, step one is we admit we're powerless over alcohol and our lives have become unmanageable. Well, if I'm going to a codependency or CODA meeting, Codependency Anonymous, we admit that we're powerless over other people and our lives become unmanageable. My life is a mess because I'm so busy taking care of others. Oh, let me stop taking care of others and take care of myself. Set some boundaries, get some support, build your self-esteem. Well, how in the world do I do that? I'm shame-based. I look at myself as there's something wrong with me. Well, it's only a thought. It makes it sound pretty simple, isn't it? It's just a thought. There's nothing wrong with you. I'm no good. I don't do enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. Stop. Stop. Change your negative thoughts to positive thoughts. Look up affirmations. We can have negative affirmations. We can have positive affirmations. Negative affirmation. I'm dumb. I'm stupid. I'm fat. I'm never good enough. All of that. Negative thoughts. Stop. Shift over to positive thoughts. I'm capable. I'm lovable. I enjoy helping other people. I can set boundaries. I know my limits today. I'm taking care of myself. I'm doing things like eating healthy, exercising, getting my sleep, giving myself some downtime and quiet time. I'm journaling. I'm saying no. I'm not going to fix someone when they've created their own problem. You've created your own problem. I'm not going to come in and rescue you. I'm not going to end up being the victim of your dysfunction. You're going to have to figure this out yourself. Oh, Mom, I failed the test. Well, you didn't study. Well, can you take it for me? Can you read the book for me? No. Are you kidding me? Parents, allow your children to have feelings. Let them be disappointed and teach them how to cope. Don't fix it for them. Teach them how to cope. Extremely important. Set boundaries. Extremely important. It's uncomfortable at first. Very uncomfortable. But the more you practice, the better you get at it. Saying no. Allowing other people to have the consequences to their poor actions. If somebody wants my advice, that's fine, but I'm not going to offer it up without you asking. Or I might say, well, I can see there's another way that might be more useful. Would you like me to? No, I don't want to hear it. Okay, that's fine. If you want to hear it, come to me. I'll talk to you about it. Otherwise, you know, knock yourself out. Codependency, or the way to deal with codependency in your own life, is just to become personally responsible for yourself and help others that genuinely need your help. Genuinely need your help. Being codependent is not necessarily a bad thing. Like I said, most of us who are in caregiving types of